Sure, in Parshas Kisetse, one of the mitzvahs written in this week's Parsha is the mitzvah to pay a worker on time. Somebody works for us, we hire him, a mitzvah to pay him on that day, says the Pasuk, who Yom HaTitim Sfaru, pay him on that very day, for lo yisomer olam haShemesh before the sun sets, ki onim, because he was poor, the Elon who knows as Nafshin. And these are the words I want to focus on today. The Torah gives a reason to be particular to pay him on time. And the words the Torah tells us are because Elon who knows as Nafshin. Because he literally lifts up, he lifts up his soul for this. So we're going to look what this means. So be sure to pay him because of this, because it's very important to him. Says Rashi over there. The Elov we may say as nothing. What does it mean? Elov we may say as nothing. Be sure to pay him on time because Elov we may say as nothing. Says Rashi, El Haschar Hazeh, for the sake of this money, of his payment, of his wages, who may say as nothing lamus. A worker might sometimes risk his life. People do sometimes dangerous jobs. All of a kevesh, benikle, be'ilo, they go up high ramps, high ladders, and work on top of a tree. Workers do all sorts of things that might involve possible sort of sakona, possible danger. So there's the Torah because of this. Torah is a sort of talmud dvarav. Make sure to pay him on time. You see how very important it is to him. He risks his life, he does these dangerous things, goes up a tree, goes up a high ramp. Make sure to pay him on time. Okay.
It seems very strange. It seems to be, if you pay him on time, he's done the work for you.
Yeah. Okay. The time is giving like a...
It's for some kind of a strange reason that's why we're
upset. Yeah. The truth is, I'll just add, the other Mephoreshim don't learn like this. Other Mephoreshim learn different. And they say, the end of the way says nothing, it doesn't mean because he risked his life to do it, but it means because he needs it to support himself. He needs it for the support of his nefesh. Not because of what he did in the Ohar, but because of his need for the money. Yeah, 100%. You're right. It's a good question. What are we supposed to take from this? Well, and what about if he didn't do a dangerous job? So listen, if he did do a dangerous job, if he did something that's not a dangerous job. Yeah, okay, no, let's just clarify a little bit, because we're not saying over here just that you should pay him. Of course you should pay him, as you say, contrary person, obviously you have to pay him. What's being said over here is to pay him on that very day, because there's a halacha, we are supposed to pay him before the end of the day. And that's even if it wasn't written in the contract. And the contract didn't specify exactly when he's going to pay. No.
It happens
because
Do not pay one.
Many times the Torah doesn't give reasons. Most of the time the Torah doesn't give reasons for its mitzvah. It tells us in its mitzvah, the reason is what it is. We're not committed to us. We've got to do it because Hashem says we've got to do it. So it's not, why does it give reasons? There's lots and lots of questions here, but I'm very sorry. This isn't the way I'm going to go today. I just want to pull out from here one little point. That, what are we saying over here? This gentleman, he does his work, and he does something dangerous. So, what I want to look at, a completely different angle of this, is this permissible? When, and under what circumstances, is somebody permitted to do something dangerous like this? It sounds like this worker was saying, well, he climbed up a dangerous tree in a place where he could fall down, so very important to him, make sure you pay. But, was he permitted to do that? So Torah is describing it, it sounds like it was allowed.
It's the same for Rashi and Sidi.
But is that what we're talking about? Us being Catholic means if he doesn't do this whole life.
He has
to
pray, right? He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And he's not going to do it. And he's not going to do it.
No,
not have
cheating
for a chance. No. It's not all in the then don't have cheating, you're poor person. No. It's a rational rational law. You see, cannot be the expert. That he even violated halacha to go on stage because he needs money. It's a rational thing. Right? It's exactly what I'm talking about. It's proof that if he put his life in danger,
okay,
he needs money.
I think you're right in terms of that is the sort of direction of thought. That, you know, how far does it go? So, is it mamash like a hetzer for Kavanah? Let's say you've got a gentleman who's got 3 days worth of savings. So the next 2-3 days he doesn't have to work. Yeah, is he also allowed to do this work? Or is it more of like a sort of general? You know, the person doesn't have power, and eventually that's what happens.
It is what he said.
All right, let's look a little bit what the quotes are about to say. So there's some fascinating background and interesting things that took place over here. Let's begin with the Rambam. So the Rambam records the hey, also la other lava takas kirin notwit. The person is not allowed to put himself into. It's a danger to walk in a place where there's a dangerous building, or al gesher ruah, to walk on a loose bridge, or a konis sakurva, or a desolate, destroyed building which could fall. All sorts of sakonis like this, also lamay bim kaiwan, one it is forbidden to go to these places. So having said that, how do we view this worker who climbs up the tree? So let's have a look at a fascinating tshuva in the Noidami Rudim. Nobody could have been asked the following. China is very interesting to go through it. Ish Echad. There was one gentleman. Asher Zikon Hashem v'nachal l'rachava v'yeshlo t'forim b'yoris. We have a gentleman who has a massive estate. Okay? He's got land, villages, forests, massive area, countryside. Asher v'yoris, tribal is called Taisei Yar. And in these forests, they are replete with wild animals. In Mutaloi, Leyefat, where there is the Knes Rafon of Tzutzai. Now there's a pastime called hunting. The non-Jews in England still do it, Abayom Azeh, some of them. Hunting as a pastime. Is he allowed to go and hunt in the woods to shoot down wild animals for recreation? Or in Osur, Yisrael asks his double death. Or is it forbidden for a Jewish person to involve himself in this type of pastime, imishum tzar balei chayim, possibly because of tzar balei chayim, imishum bal tashkis, because of the issa of bal tashkis. Various reasons might cross one's mind why maybe such a thing is not a recommended pastime or maybe even forbidden for a good Jewish boy. That was the question asked of the Noidami Rudim. And he goes through these various angles of tzar balei chayim and bal tashkis, and then, after speaking at length, he comes to a different angle of it. And he says, first of all, the Omnam, Ma'oid Ali Tama al Gufhadova. Says the Noyu Yehuda, to me it's very surprising. For Lomotilu Ish Saiv, Rab the Nimrod of Esav. Who do we find in the Torah who are hunters? There's Nimrod, there's Esav, the Aim Zed Darke Ibn Abram, Yitzhak Yaakov. This is not the Jewish way. Mishu Ish Hatzorek Hotel, the Parnasos, the Parnasos, they would say that if a person needs this, means Parnasos. But then the Shaykh Akazonis, then we cannot consider it cruelty, because that's his paradox. Are he shaykh for the heavens, the highest, the oikos, the shaykh animals, and the meeting dog and kill fish, the tzorek ha'odom? Avonisha ains and the tzorek paranasosoi, they ikka kavanosoi kaal the shul paranasosoi, who are sorriest. Says the Noidami Rudim, if this is not your paranasosoi, you're just doing it as a pastime, it's simply cruelty. And it's not the Jewish way. Who were the hunters? Esau, Nimrod, none of our obvious Hakadoshim were hunters. That's not our way. But then says the Noidami Rudim, the Atkan Dibarti with Sadi Yoshiaha and Hogger shall worry the Otom the Harifik Mizet. First of all, it's not the right hand hogger. But the Akshav Ali Oyden, Afilu isur ikra. They could also be possible isur. Sha'ri koho iskim doze. Tzrichim b'hikonis b'yoris olahachnis atzbol v'sakonis gedoles. So it's literally good that these forests, are they safe places? Are they regular places where you walk safely around with confidence without fright? But mocking, you do take hides in places of wild animals. Rachmona omar, v'nishmaltem ma'ud l'nafshe seichem. The Torah commands us to look after ourselves. And as we've said, who is the greatest hunter in history? Esau. And what did Esau say? Shakos of Hez, Allah, by Yi Esau, issue their side. Like the Torah says, Esau was a hunter. Upuk Hazi, Mahu Omar al Asra. What does Esau say about himself? Hene Omrihi Hoyle Nomus. Says Esau, I am in constant danger of death, and who knows when I'll die. The aim Nikoliotin Rev Shutta, what is the simple chat in this possible? Shahaimin Shunistakin Bachol Yoin Ben Gedude Chayos Bechim Pirshu Haramba. Esau said about himself, I'm putting myself in constant danger when I hunt. Umay Ato Eich Yachlis Atzman Ish Yehudi Namokin Gedude Chayos Rois. Says the Lord Yehuda, how can a person put himself in this sakona to go hunting in forests and places where wild animals roam and go about freely? It's dangerous. And now comes to the paragraph which is relevant to us. Now even in this dangerous situation, where a person hunts wild animals in the forest, Mishuhu Omi, somebody who is poor, and does this for his income, for this there is a particular heter, there is a particular dispensation of the Torah to be oisik in a parnasa, even if that parnasa involves some element of danger. Like people who work in business where they have to cross the sea in boats, which in those times, you know, many people did it safely, but it involved a certain level of danger. The Torah Omra, and the source to this is, as the Torah says, the Eloh Uloseh Nafshe Omra Azal, the Maze Olov Elon, Olov Kevesh Benitle Elon, Masa Atzmi, the Visa Loy Al Sakhara. A person's purpose in this is not his parnasa. He does it simply for recreation, he enjoys it. So, like we were starting to say already, says the Nefi Huda, this pasuk is to be understood as a special dispensation for a person's parnasa. He doesn't actually, like, literally, sort of limited to a situation of literal required marriage. You know, if he doesn't do this, he'll die. But person's parnasa is considered in the Torah's eyes a kosher Torah, and person is allowed to put himself at least into this level of sakana for his parnasa. So that's the Nevi Huda. We have to consider what this hunting is for. If it's a person's direct parnasa, he does it because he needs parnasa, and this is his parnasa, it is mutter. But if he does it for recreation, and it sounds a little bit for me lost with the Nevi Huda, even if eventually he'll make money from it. You know, when he has something which he's hunting, so what will he do with it in the end? Probably he'll take his fur, he'll take whatever there is to take from it, and he'll sell it, and he'll make money. But as the Rebbe the words of it, Ein ikur kavanasa l'mechiyasa. He's not doing it for his parnasa, he's doing it for recreation. If he makes something, so he makes something by tovu l'anoi. If he's not doing it for his parnasa, because of parnasa means, it is forbidden. So that's the chiluk. And that's what the Rebbe Yehuda takes out from this pasuk in the Torah. And there are other achronim who then take this yisoid of the Rebbe Yehuda and use it in various other fascinating scenarios. Let's look at a couple of them. One of them was asked. Yeah, so that's referring to this case of this gentleman wanted to do it. The hunting for recreation. So if he wants to do it for recreation, says the Nevi Yehuda, it's awesome. Because of the sakana involved, the person goes out into the forest in a place of wild animals, so it's awesome. A person shouldn't put himself in this type of sakana. But if he needed it for parnasa, it would be better. And then let's look at a couple of other interesting shaylos. Interesting situations where a person needed to put himself in types of questionable sakana for his parnasa. One of them is in the Chuvas of Rav Moshe. Nishalti me'echot. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I was asked, in Mutter his parlance, me misra zurikas hakadurim. Now we're going to have to put our imaginations, I don't know exactly what Rav Moshe means. Is a person allowed to make parnasa from the game of throwing balls? Shenikro ball. Ball. You see that base Aleph Lamed? Ball the last. Some sort of professional sports. Maybe football, maybe something that's a little bit more dangerous. Perhaps things get a bit hot there on the pitch. This one gets angry with that one. It happens. It's not. It doesn't happen every day. It's a sort of hurdle of thing that people come to danger, damage, even danger because of this. Is the person allowed to be into such a parnasa? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's interesting to see his answer, and also the way he words the answer. Then he shouted, Shlani is Daiti Yesh Lahatim, it is permitted, as we see in this Gemara, which we began with, which Rashi quoted, when we see that a person goes up the tree, climbs up to a high place, for the sake of his parnasa. Almost says Rav Moshe, the Mutter of his parents, Apke She'ikeh Hashash Sakoma, Lo Uithun Rosik. It's also important, those couple of words that he adds in. What level of sakhala are we talking about over here? Is the person allowed to go into any type of sakhala? This part of also, you know, how far does this... So I was saying, it's limited to something which is similar to what Chazal described. Chazal says he goes up to a tree, to a high place. So presumably a person who does that, this part of also, you know, he knows what he's doing, he's trained, he understands how to do it, to lock to fall. But it could happen. It's what the Rabbisha calls chashash sakhala, but even rock. That type of level of sakhala a person is allowed to put himself into for the sake of his parnasa. What Rav Moshe calls sakhala lo'ithun rochik, a distant concern of sakhala.
Small
concern. I don't know to define it more sharply in terms of statistics, in terms of numbers. Rav Moshe calls it a sakhala, which is a distant chashash. It's very likely that a person goes into sports, goes into ball, football, whatever exactly he was describing it, not very likely, not every person who goes into sports, or not even 50%, or probably not even 1%, gets seriously damaged. But it does happen. It's a person, a thing a person might think about when he begins going into such a parnasa. It's something, Ola al-Hadas, you might say. It comes into your mind, not concern, but it comes into one's mind.
I won't let my son play
American football is something more. What is American football? Something more concerned with it? Huh? More like rugby. I wonder if that's what Rav Moshe is even referring to.
That's what they mean, playing more.
Right, that's what they mean.
And then coach,
yes, they
why?
I said,
because there's only a few Jews in the
world.
You're
born
with
a
It's a good answer.
Huh?
Rugby was out. Rugby was out, yeah. It's a very wild game.
Boxing?
No. No, it's not a Jewish. Not a Jewish pastime, that's for sure.
Do
what?
Like in casino,
yeah, okay, that's okay. Okay, whatever. We'll let them do it and we'll make the money. No, it's not okay, I'm joking. No, I understand. I'm sorry, it was a place of repair, what we call something. A slip of the tongue, out of place. No, it's not okay. Yeah, it was not okay.
Okay,
one other. We've got a couple more minutes, so one other interesting. Two other interesting Baruch Hakodesh. So that's Rav Moshe's case. Another case which was asked from Tzitz Eliezer, who recently got it. Yeah, Rav Moshe basically came to the conclusion that for a person's parnasa he's allowed to, and then interesting, Rav Moshe finishes off. Achazman, in the last line of Rav Moshe, Achazman, interesting that he didn't know it at first. Achazman heard me. After some time, they showed me. That the Noah Yehuda also gave the same meaning. So that Noah Yehuda that we saw, Rav Moshe also came to the same conclusion himself, and after a time they showed me that the Noah Yehuda said it, the Hana'ani, and I was very happy. Rav Moshe was happy to hear that he had come to the same conclusion as the Noah Yehuda.
But you also talking not about necessarily physical danger, you're talking about spiritual danger as well.
Spiritual danger? Like, oh, you mean in this case of the ball? Yes. Sure.
Not, 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 there's, I don't know mostly a lot of energy does in the world. That's the most old time.
Yeah.
Now you don't say what it
says. If you
it means that the happy perfection of the world will be given in the old time. You know, when it says certain perfection by definition, you say it's the wrong thing.
Okay, I thought Rabbi Shimon doesn't sort of go into that angle of it. One final interesting question. One final interesting case, which was asked in much earlier Dorah, should have said it, which is hundreds of years ago. He was asked about somebody who sent a shliach. He sent a shliach to do for him some sort of business. A paid shliach. Paid shliach, he sent it to do for him some sort of business. I don't know, he went from Pinsk to Leipzig, I don't know, whatever, in these old places, and he went on the way, and unfortunately this shliach on the way, he suffered some sort of disaster, I don't know, and crossed the bridge broke, he fell into the river, and unfortunately that was the end of him. So the mishaleach, the one who sent the gentleman on his way, felt very bad, you know, felt very upset and bad, and you know, oh, here, I sent him off on this journey, and look what happened. So he came to this god of the Temat Tzedek with a shayla, and he asked him, does he sort of bear any responsibility? Does he need some type of kapara? Does he need to do tshuva? Said the Temat Tzedek that we could be mechalek over here between a paid shliach and a non-paid shliach. Had it been a non-paid shliach, said the Temat Tzedek, there's a sort of, it's not your fault in any way, but there's a sort of certain level of responsibility and you need to do some type of show or some type of
stuff.
Yeah, if he was not paid.
It's related to the human. Directly to the human.
God.
What's more important? Which might be more important? Me or send you or a person?
Okay.
Jews should not go on this bridge. Which they said. It's human. And we don't need to talk about what they want to come. If you want to sustain both around Ben, he's part. 100%. He gets everything. He's part of 100%. If you're talking about Jewish people,
he's asking a good question. He says the opposite thing. And let's just say over what he says, and then I think I would say that's a good question he asks. He says the opposite thing. He says, well, listen, if he was a paid shliach, so he's a worker. Right? A worker, like we've learned all the time from that, a worker is permitted to place himself in this type of suffering.
Right.
So it's his decision, it's his thing. So you don't hold any responsibility. But if he wasn't a worker, then he's sort of doing it as a sort of favor to you.
And
so
he,
then
he said, meet your class today to bear.
Yeah.
Look, he's a man. Well, he didn't listen to you, he was, I don't know what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Why am I responsible for?
I don't know, if you're going to take that to your Baba Kama Baba Matsya class and see where you go with it. I'm not sure, it's a good question you're asking. At the end of the day, if he wasn't supposed to go, so why is it my problem? Even if he wasn't paid, if he was paid, he's
a double. But maybe he's paid easier, but whatever.
Yeah, but even not paid, still at the end of the day, if he wasn't going to go there, he went himself, so.
Do you remember the person who wrote the jump on the 22nd floor? Paying
up there, and he's not by that much money. No. Okay, not the difference between different levels of Sakana, that's why I'm thinking. But still, the whole thing.
Even for me?
Yeah. Mutter, so it's Mutter.